will be having a sermon for the second message. Deacon here locally, Mr. Jim Morgan.
Sabbath, everybody. A little rain. I guess we need some, but I don't need it right now with things I'm doing. Anyway, we just got this, I think, yesterday, the new good news. I haven't read it yet, but perused it, and an article here on the powers of the unseen world, an article on the evil spirits and evil spirit world, and a news and prophecy blurb on spiritual blindness. Interesting stuff. And it kind of ties in with the message that I have today, entitled, as it said on the bulletin, The Power of Darkness. This all came about, believe it or not, because of a joke. And here's the joke. Mr. Carl Hurley, he used to be a professor at a university, but he turned comedian. And one of his jokes is that he was visiting a relative who lived in the back hills of Kentucky and was having a new home built, okay? And a friend came in. It was a big house, lots of windows in there, just windows all over the place. And his friend came in and looked at this house. He said, wow, look at all these windows. And they happened to be installing the lighting while he was there. And he made the comment, said, it's a good thing you're putting in all these lights, because all those windows are sure going to let in a lot of darkness. And he said he thought about that, and it almost makes sense. That's the dangerous part about it. It almost, you'd almost have to agree with that. So we're going to talk a little bit about darkness and light today. There's physical light, and there's physical darkness. But there's also spiritual light and spiritual darkness. So today we're going to examine both sides of that story, comparing the two together in some cases, but concentrating on the spiritual light and darkness more so than the other, explaining some differences and how they manifest themselves. And then we're going to look at some ways to avoid, how to avoid the spiritual darkness. But what is physical darkness? I have a can full of it right here. Guaranteed 100% gluten-free darkness. No food poisoning. No coloring. Just 100% darkness. Right? You want me to show it to you? Here it is. What happened? There's no darkness in there anymore. There was darkness, I'll guarantee you. But that proves a point, doesn't it? Physical darkness is just the absence of light. We can't even measure darkness. No way to measure it. All we can do is measure how much light is in something. Measured in candelas, candle power. That's the only way we can measure it. When I opened that can, darkness did not come out. Rather, light went in and replaced it. Okay? Physical darkness has no power whatsoever. It is only the physical light that overpowers the darkness. Space itself is dark. And it's only dark because there's nothing in that space to reflect light or absorb light, so the light passes through it without any evidence that it has been there or is going through it at the time. It takes substance. Some properties of physical darkness are similar to spiritual darkness, but there's vast differences, which points out the need. We really need to shed some light on this thing called darkness. Now, we all know where physical light comes from. It comes from the sun, from light bulbs, from fire. But the Bible uses light as a metaphor for righteousness, biblical truth, holiness. Spiritual light shows the way that we're supposed to walk with our lives. Robert Brent is one of the council members of the church, and he wrote a blurb a while back about spiritual light and darkness. He brought out some of these points. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. That's Psalms 119, 105. God's word is intended to be a light to our feet and give us spiritual understanding so we can walk according to God's ways. Jesus Christ himself, while in the flesh, was identified as light. Turn to the book of John, chapter 1. Let's look at verse 6, John 1, verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Christ's message was about the light of truth coming to illuminate our paths and giving us the spiritual insight that we need to want. Mr. Brent goes on to say that, looking at verse 5, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Many people find it easier to remain in darkness, not understanding the truth of God. And most mankind now unwittingly love darkness rather than light. Let's go ahead to chapter 3 of John. And verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. The natural carnal mind is willing to stumble around in the darkness rather than allow God's truth to lead them to repentance. That's just the way the carnal mind is. But to avoid the spiritual pitfalls that's out there, we need to, number one, see how it comes about and recognize the forces behind it. And then knowing those two things will help us to counter it. First of all, let's explain where spiritual darkness comes from. You think you know where the spiritual darkness comes from? The answer might surprise you. But we find it back in Isaiah. Isaiah 45. Isaiah 45 and verse 7. Isaiah 45:7. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create calamity. I, the Lord, do all these things. So kind of surprisingly, it's God himself who creates the darkness. You can imagine this talking about physical light. You know, the sun comes up and we got light, the sun goes down, we got dark. But the emphasis here is on spiritual darkness, not the physical so much. How does God create spiritual darkness? That's a good question. The Hebrew word for darkness in this verse here is choshek, C-H-O-S-H-E-K. It literally means dark or darkness, but figuratively it can mean misery, destruction, death, ignorant, sorrow, or obscurity. Strong concordance on that one includes the word wickedness, but I contest that to be wrong because God does not create wickedness. That would only come from Satan. But that word, choshek, is derived from a primitive word, koshak, which means to be dark, as withholding light, to dim or to hide. And that kind of illuminates the fact that darkness is caused by withholding light. Just as we saw from the can, if I cover this, it's going to be dark in there. The light is withheld, but you take, let the light in, the darkness goes away. So God creates darkness by withholding light. And that is one of the physical similarities between the spiritual and the physical lights. But light is symbolic with understanding and peace, blessings, whereas darkness is equated with sorrows, calamity, disasters, coming about by ignorance of not knowing the truth, not seeing the light. Deuteronomy 28 and Leviticus 26 are well known as the blessing and cursing chapters. It reiterates how righteousness brings blessings, that sin and ignorance bring death and destruction and troubles. God, being the source of light and all good, has the power over both the light and the dark, and He will give mankind whatever is deserving according to His will. First John, turn there please. First John, not the book of John, but First John. Chapter 1. 1 John 1 and verse 5. God is light, and as such, He controls it. 1 John 1, 5. This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. So as being the source of light, He has the power to withhold that light, which would bring darkness. We've all heard about the downfall of Adam and Eve and how Satan deceived them. Adam following along with Eve, they lost the whole Garden of Paradise, lost that garden because of their sins. Genesis 3 explains, let's turn back there to Genesis 3, explains how darkness first came to this world upon mankind. Genesis 3. We're going to break into the middle of it here a little bit. Genesis 3, starting in verse 7. After the first sin, then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Eternal God among the trees in the garden. Then the Lord called to Adam and said, "Where are you?" So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden and was afraid, because I was naked and I hid myself." This is the first mention of fear in the Bible, brought about because of a broken relationship with God. It then goes on to tell how God deals first with Satan, as he is the instigator of it all. So he put Satan in his place. And after that, Satan didn't have a leg to stand on, being a serpent. But then he addresses the new state that man and woman would find themselves in verse 16. To the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. So God puts curses on both man and woman for them, for their sin. In verse 17, then to Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife, eaten from the tree which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. That is the prime example of light being withheld. The potential was there for them to have it all. Instead, they lost. Darkness descending upon mankind, bringing physical suffering and sorrows ever since. God withheld the blessings that they could have had. He hid that light from them, that tree of life that would have brought them the light, showing them the way to salvation. Instead, he gave them sorrow by withdrawing access to the understanding, the light, which would have led them to salvation. Instead, he gave them darkness. He hid that light from them by casting them out of the garden. And that darkness has been on mankind ever since. God withheld that light of salvation because they rejected his rule over him, went Satan's way instead. There's a vast difference between light and darkness. But that vast difference was greatly removed and even reversed when Christ was crucified, allowing them to be a means for salvation when he was resurrected. Shortly after Christ's resurrection, he started the church. And soon after that, he called Saul out of his darkness into light, renaming him Paul. Let's look at that example in Acts 26, where Saul met his high noon showdown with Jesus Christ. Acts 26. This is where a king, or where Paul was giving account of himself before King Agrippa. He was explaining this, how he was struck down on the way to Damascus and what the purpose behind it was, that he was to be sent to the Gentiles. Acts 26, verse 17. God is speaking here. I will deliver you, talking to Paul, from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles, to whom I now send you, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Touching on what Mr. Davenport spoke of earlier. Because Adam and Eve let Satan deceive them, God allowed Satan to become the dark force of evil of this world over all mankind. I think we know then, memory verse, 2 Corinthians 4:4, whose mind the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine unto them. Again, a metaphor of light being the truth, the gospel message. Satan has been allowed to deceive this whole world, hiding the truth, hiding the light of the gospel from them. Revelation 12:9, he's deceived the whole world. He's been doing it for almost 6,000 years now. But only until the time of refreshings would come, and that way to salvation would then be opened through Christ. Ever since the days of Adam and Eve, Satan had that power to hold back the truth of God, the light that comes from knowing and understanding this gospel. It's only the very few that God has chosen to overrule Satan on this and give the light of the truth to them for his purpose. And that power still rules and reigns today, the power of darkness over this world. Turn to Matthew 13. That is brought out in this verse here. Matthew 13. Matthew 13, we're going to look at verse 19. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom, Matthew 13:19, and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away that which was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. Now, Clark's commentary on that understanding it not could be better rendered as does not lay it to heart. He didn't pay attention to it, didn't do anything with it. You know, the gospel is not hard to understand. If God is opening your mind to it, it becomes very clear. You know. But if they don't do anything with it, don't respond properly, then God allows Satan to come in and just take it away from them. He has that power, as God wills. Anything that God gives is good and should be treated as such. James 1, verse 17. Let's turn there. James 1, verse 17. Every good gift, every perfect gift, is from above and comes down from who? The Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness or shadow of turning. God is the Father of light, the source of light. Darkness cannot exist in the presence of God. He blasts it out. But this whole world lies in darkness under the deception of Satan. And that is something we have been called from and brought out of. Satan hates it when God calls a person, because Satan loses control of that person. And he would rather have him back under his control, so he keeps trying to bring us back in. And he will, if we don't heed and pay attention to what God is doing with us. We have to stay close to God and retain the truth that we've had. Retain that faith. The truth that we've been given to stay out of Satan's control. It's a very real source of spiritual power, dark power, that wants to destroy us, and something we need to be understanding about and able to counter. Now, we've just seen how darkness will drive out light. Darkness has no power over light. Indeed, it is the light which controls the darkness. Here's another example. As long as this flashlight is on, there is nothing that's going to turn it off, unless I turn it off or the battery's run dead. Perpetual. It's going to just stay turned on, right? Okay. It's not going to be diminished or redirected. It goes where I point it. This is the same and true with God. As being the source of light, that light is always going to be there. It's dependable. It's forever. We can count on it. As the message previous brought out, dependable. And that light will always come from God. However, that which applies to the spiritual, to the physical rather, does not always apply to the spiritual. There are some similarities, but there are some differences. Spiritual light can be diminished. Spiritual light can be squelched, even put out by spiritual darkness. Not so with physical light. But with spiritual light, that is a reality. And that's a little bit scary. I like to quote the church's belief of statements about Satan the devil, which is the source of spiritual darkness, or the evil sources. We believe that Satan is a spirit being who is the adversary of God and the children of God, you and I. Satan has been given dominion over the world for a specific period of time. Satan had deceived humanity into rejecting God and his laws. That's the spiritual darkness that resides over this world right now. Satan has ruled by deception with the aid of a host of demons who are rebellious angels, spirit beings who followed Satan in his rebellion. End of quote. That power of darkness is exposed for what it is here. Let's turn to Ephesians 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And I'm going to look at verse 12. Ephesians 6:12. And I'm going to read this out of the Old King James Version. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now many of us, well, in fact all of us, were under Satan's control at one time or another. Some grew up in the church with converted parents. But still, Satan had some control, not total control as before. There is a difference between first generation and second or third generation Christians. Even they, growing up in the church, had some influence from Satan until the time that God called them out of this world. And when that happened, we were translated from a purely physical world into a spiritual world, a world of godly truth and light. Let's turn ahead just a little bit to the book of Colossians to bring that out. First chapter of Colossians. And we're going to read First Colossians verse 12. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us. That qualified means we have been called out of this world, given His Spirit. Qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. In the truth that God has shown and given to us. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of His Son, of His love. We should be very thankful and happy about our new relationship with God and thank Him for delivering us out of the mess that this world is in. It is a mess out there. Verse 13 here sets us up in the past tense, something that has happened already in the past. And indeed, we have been delivered from the hand of Satan. We have been translated from the physical into the spiritual. Satan did have a strong influence over us before conversion and still does to some extent. But as stated before too, the power within us is stronger than his. He can only do what God allows. The story of Job tells us that much. Being called, given the knowledge of God's plan, is like a giant light that has come into our lives, showing us God's will, showing us how to live, showing us the future, explaining the histories of the past, showing us God's way. Let's turn back to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5, just a few pages back. Ephesians 5 and verse 8. For you were once darkness, but now you are the light of the world. Walk as children of light. We are indeed to be spiritual lights in this world. We have been individually called, given these spiritual truths, and we should be walking in that spiritual light, not in darkness. Now, I would like to equate the physical light from this flashlight as being spiritual light. We're going to have a little bit of transition here. So imagine this as a spiritual light. And as such, this little flashlight could represent any one of us. We are to be lights in this world, right? Now, this physical light is not subject to spiritual darkness. But as a spiritual light, it is. This spiritual light can be quenched, reduced. It can be put out. Some have allowed that to happen in a real, real sense. But as a spiritual light, let's consider us as being this spiritual light. Now, we know that the spiritual darkness can affect our spiritual light a little bit or a whole lot. Better take some outside source to do that, and that is the power of spiritual darkness. Satan himself and his demons being that power of darkness. He will do whatever he can to diminish our light and draw us away from God. And if we allow that spiritual light to dim, to go out, we could fall back into total spiritual darkness. That has happened to some in the past. So let's really look at some of this way the spiritual light might be affected. There are things and ways, things that we do, that allow that spiritual light to be diminished. Not keeping God's laws. Not studying. We all know the basics there. As Psalms 119:105 again states, David equated God's word to light, showing him the way to go. Neglecting the daily routine of prayer, study, occasional fasting, meditation. Our relationship of God is paramount in that regard. He is the source of our light. The closer to Him, the closer our light and stronger our light would be. I'm reminded of Moses. When he went up in the mountain, he came back, his face shined because he was in the presence of God for so long. But let's focus on some of the more subtle tactics Satan might use to affect our light. Again, using this, representing us as a spiritual light. Say we are praying about something. And when you pray about something, you're kind of focusing on it. It's there, and that's your attention. That's your focal point, what you're praying about somebody. But then look what spiritual darkness can come and do to it. Look at that. You can't see it too much, but it's clear up there on the ceiling. There might be some cobwebs or something up there. I don't know. If I look, maybe I'll find a bug or two. Well, what happened to my focus? It was diverted. I was distracted. That is the power of Satan. It happens. Deception, distraction, a major part of one of Satan's tactics that we've got to be aware of and watch out for. We might be praying for the healing of a person, asking for God to intervene. And if we're praying for that person there, and all of a sudden, that person isn't getting much help if I'm looking at the ceiling, diverted from what I'm praying about. That happens. We've got to keep our focus where it counts. The fervent prayers of a righteous man does avail much. We do make a difference. Our prayers count. And as the power of darkness, he will do anything he can to nudge our attention away, to divert it, so that we're not effective. I found that sometimes I just have to write down the points or use a prayer list to keep focused so I can, my prayers are better. And Satan, if he gets away with it once, he'll keep doing it until you finally catch on, and then he'll try something else. Diversions, distractions, one of his favorite tools that can diminish the effectiveness of our spiritual light. There are many things out there that catch us up in this. I have a problem with squirrels, believe it or not. I sit on the kitchen table in the morning doing Bible study. And about 10 minutes into good Bible study, these little rodents come up in my yard. I detest those little critters. Eating my bird food that I put out there for birds. And it's only while Bible study that I do that they do this. Right up in the front yard, not 15 feet from my window. I get so irritated I have to go up and chase them away. But I'm diverted. Distracted. So I had to discipline myself. I'm not going to let those squirrels bother my and interrupt my Bible study anymore. They stopped coming. Later in the day when I can go out and chase them away without bothering my Bible study. It could be squirrels. It could be whatever. Interesting. We ourselves sometimes are our worst enemy, and it's easy to sit back and do nothing. Stagnate. Not do something. Not doing the things that a Christian's doing. Not bearing fruit, maintaining a close contact with God. And that is what energizes our batteries. It keeps us going. That keeps our light strong. Another important way that our spiritual lights can be quenched and darkened is not hanging on to the basic truths that we have been taught. I've taught this before. I've said this more than once, and there's a danger in letting familiarization lead us into looking for something different, something more exciting. Something new, maybe. And Satan supports a lot of websites out there that throw out slander, gossip. Others project false doctrine, new doctrine. People are sometimes intrigued by new doctrine. Ooh, never heard that before. I wonder what that's all about. Then they go off on a wild goose chase, chasing things that do not profit. It happens. The internet can be a really good thing for research. Amazing stuff you can find on the internet for a good purpose. But it's also a bottomless pit of spiritual danger if you're not careful. The basic truths that we already have are as exciting and as wonderful as it gets. Now, if we don't believe that or accept that, then something is wrong with our perception of the truth. That truth is awesome. Remembering back the first times, that first love, wow. Proper study, support to add what we already know is the way to study. To add to our understanding and growing in grace and knowledge. There are plenty more spiritual gems to be found in this Bible. But some have considered this truth, well, it's old hat. Heard that before, so what's new? And because they searched themselves right out of the church, looking for something new. The grass might seem greener on the other side of the fence, but that grass is poisoned. Be careful. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians, or Colossians. Second Corinthians, chapter 11. 2 Corinthians 11, or verse 3. I'm going to read this in the Old King James Version. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Yeah. Corrupted from the simplicity that we already know. It's better to know when you know the basic truths than to water them down and maybe looking for different theories or something more exciting. We've lost old friends for that very reason. They went out looking for other things. We lost three in another congregation thinking that Christ was a created being years ago. Three of them all left together. And there's only one of them later on that realized the deception from it and came back, which is good news. But deception is a form of spiritual darkness. And it's insidious in that people are really not aware that they are deceived. Insidious, but that's the reality of it. People that we knew were pillars in the church, in a previous church, blindsided by false darkness. Sad, but deception. Paul hammered Timothy even on sticking to the truth. Let's turn to 2 Timothy. Thessalonians, Timothy, 2 Timothy, chapter 4. I'm going to read this in Old King James, too. 2 Timothy 4, verse 2. Preach the word. Be instant in season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrines. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, that shall turn away their ears from truth, and shall be turned unto fables. It behooves us to be constantly increasing our study, supporting what we already know and adding to it, and bewaring of something that's falsehood. When people are looking for something new or different, it suggests that they just might not love the original truth that they've been given. And that's scary. I don't say that's dogmatic of the case all the time, but if you're not happy with what we've got, something's wrong. That is a dangerous position, and Satan will take advantage of it. And this brings up another point here. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians, back there again. You know, we are betrothed to Christ, engaged to Christ, so to speak. And if we don't believe what Christ is telling us, then doesn't that make us unbelievers? If we're not believing it, well, then we must be unbelievers. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness? Now, this verse, a lot of times, is meant to discourage marriages outside the church. But how much more apropos it is to those who are engaged to Christ now. Can we walk with Christ having different doctrines? If we're not believing Christ, what are we believing? Now, I'm not, you know, if anything, I got to look at myself. I'm not evaluating anybody here by any means. Don't get me wrong there. I'm preaching to myself more so than anybody else. But I'm just saying, I have to keep track of what I'm believing and supporting that, not something different or new. The Bible warns us of strong deception coming in these last days. Religious deception will be rampant in the latter days. Matthew 24 brings out that very strongly. Matthew 24, let's look at verse 4 and 5. Jesus is talking to the disciples. And he answered and said to them, "Take heed that no man deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many." Just give me your trust and your money, and I'll lead you to the kingdom. Oh, yeah. We've heard that before. Brethren, the beast power itself will be literally welcomed because of all the chaos in the world at that time coming. They will welcome a strong power to come in and take control of things to hopefully get some stability going for them. And people are just going to suck it up. They'll be deceived into following a false prophet by not knowing what this book says, where the light comes from. And in essence, they will be destroyed for a lack of knowledge. A lack of truth, spiritual light. A sure way to weed out fact from fiction when those charlatans show up is this verse here, Isaiah 8:20. You might want to remember this one. Isaiah chapter 8. And verse 20. Should be a memory scripture. To the law and to the testimony. If they do not speak according to this world, it is because there is no light in them. That one verse will separate the men from the boys, the wheat from the chaff, the goats from the sheep. Most of these charlatans will be promoting themselves, not the truth found in this Bible. So we need to stick to the basics. Let's go back to 1 John. 1 John chapter 2. And we're going to look at verse 24. 1 John 2:24. Again from the Old King James Version. "Let that therefore abide in you, which you have heard from the beginning." If that which you have heard from the beginning remains in you, you shall also continue in the Son and in the Father. Don't be led astray with false doctrine. It might look good, it might smell good, it might taste good. If it's not according to the law and the prophets, it stinks. There is no other truth. Now, just to cover the basics, time and chance is also another thing to watch out for. It happens to everybody. Debilitating health issues can drag us down. A message just talked about aging. I've been there. I know. It hurts. But it can drag us down, decrease our spiritual light. But we have even promises about that. Let's turn again to 1 Corinthians. A lot of jumping around here, but that's what it takes sometimes. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 this time. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. Again, I want to use the old King James. There has no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. 1 Corinthians 10:13. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above what you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Now this not only applies to temptations, but literally to all trials that God might throw upon us. And He does allow those things to come upon us. But He knows us inside and out and just how much we can take. So we're expected to come through. And God is there to help all the way. It's just up to us to rely on Him for all things. This next verse, I really want you to think about. Let's turn back to Psalms. Psalms 112. Consider what is being said in this verse. Psalms 112 and verse 4. Unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. Let's notice that this verse affirms that bad things happen to God's people. To the upright, there arises light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteousness. It says that darkness comes to the upright. However, it also says that when things seem to be at the darkest point, even, light comes in the midst of it. We've got to believe that. We've got to hope that. We've got to know that God is there. Having that faith and walking in it, showing the way through it. Sometimes it does seem like there's one thing after another to contend with. Yet God's there to help. And He will give light in the midst of trials. Trials require us to rely on God, because most of them are over and above our control. We have to look outside ourselves. And when we do, God responds, but in His own way, in His own time, and for His own purpose. We live in a world filled with darkness, totally absorbed in darkness because of Satan's power. And that darkness is going to be getting worse. But there may be quite a bit of time yet to go before it becomes the day of the Lord. Many months, many years, we don't know for sure. But even in the midst of the greatest darkness this world will ever see, called Jacob's trouble, light will arise. Light will come in the midst of the trials. First to us, and then to the rest of this world. The power of darkness will rule supreme for a while, but it is a power which God allows and is using to chastise this world because of their sins and help them to turn. The tribulation, many will turn, but many will be hardened and will not turn. But God allows that, and only to the degree that He so chooses. And at the end of the 2.5 years of Satan's rule, the day of his rampant destruction, the day or the year of the Lord comes and will cut short that power of darkness. God Himself will do the correcting from then on. In the midst of all this calamity, God is always in control and will tend to the needs of His people. We read the ending of that story already. We know where it leads. And there will be peace and perpetual stability coming to us when that happens. As for the power of darkness, it's going to be banned forever. That which is within us, as we've heard, is stronger than the forces without. As for the power of spiritual rightness and light, it will shine eternally as never before in human history. Let's look with some positive assurance with that in mind, looking at a futuristic time. Let's turn to Revelations, the book of Revelation, chapter 21. Revelation 21, verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. Awesome, great news for us. The power of that righteous light will rule supreme, so much so that even the need for a physical sun will not be needed. Look at verse 23, same chapter verse. Verse 23. And the city had no need of sun or of moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it, and the Lamb is its light, remaining that way forever. The power of light has absolute control over the power of darkness and evil, both the physical and the spiritual. I'd like to end with one last verse. Let's go back to the book of John. John chapter 12. John 12, verse 35 and 36. Then Jesus said to them, A little while longer, the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he's going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become the sons of light. We are to become the spiritual lights that God intends us to be. And now it's going on 4:30, so I better quit, according to that clock. Have a wonderful Sabbath, brethren. We'll see you next time.